Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our first ever episode of FS Talks. It's the podcast that brings you the latest news and chats with industry leaders every week on Friday mornings. Today's podcast is hosted by myself, Phil Creed. I am co-founder and director of FSCom, which is a boutique regulatory advisory firm to the financial services industry. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Will Morrick, who is Chief Operating Officer and Exec Director of IFX Payments, and Francesco Fulcoli, who is the Chief Compliance Officer for TransferGo, bringing you a fantastic story, or I think it's a fantastic story, of how fintechs are partnering together, collaborating to combat some real-life COVID-19 issues. Morning, guys. How are you both?
Good morning, Phil. Very pleased to be part of your first ever episode of FS Talk. So far, so good. Working from home, so is because of this COVID, but overall, everything is okay. But very, very glad to be part of your first episode here.
Yeah, morning, Phil. Thanks very much for having me. Like Francesco said, I'm delighted to be here and looking forward to discussing what's been an exciting last few weeks.
Brilliant. Well, again, thanks for joining me. I've known both Will and Francesco for a good while now, actually. But for the audience watching, would you mind introducing yourselves in a little bit more detail? And Will, perhaps you could introduce yourself and IFX, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Will Marrick. I'm the Chief Operating Officer here at IFX. And my background's really been in legal and compliance over the years, and have been here at IFX for about two and a half years or so now. So IFX has been an established FX brokerage now for 15 years, really focusing on that forward contract, spot contract sort of business. But over the last few years, we've really kind of pivoted our business strategy to move towards the fintech space. So how we've done that is through our virtual IBAN product, which we call iBank. Now that's done through an agency banking agreement with our banking partner, which is then subsequently layered with our proprietary technology that allows us to collect 39 different currencies into one single IBAN account, reconcile payments, manage FX and cash flow, and then make onward payments. Now that can be through single payments or a mass payment solution that we offer. So really that's kind of IFX in a nutshell. And yeah, that's really it.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I'm going to put it in here anyway, Will, but Will, whenever we were talking about this call before, said that IFX were the best kept secret in fintech, which, you know, having spoken to Will and knowing the company, I think that's a fair assumption.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why Francesco even got in touch, but I'll let him tell you that story.
Yeah, Francesco, obviously, I know yourself as well, but could you expand a little bit on you and your background and also TransferGo in a bit wider detail, please?
Yes, definitely. Well, I'm the Chief Compliance Officer here in TransferGo since last December, after I lead a compliance technology revamp in IFX with Will. So all my background is really for the last 15 years, I did work in government body, corporate bank, and fintech, in always in compliance and compliance technology space. I did lead few projects, and obviously the last one before TransferGo was IFX. Now I'm here in TransferGo, which is one of the fastest growing fintech in the market. We are a digital remittance solution for migrant and workers, what is called really blue collar. So our segment is very specific. We help migrant to move money back home and support family. So this is our main core business, let's say. So we are much younger than IFX. I have to say IFX has been in the market for over 15 years. We have been in the market for 7 years, and obviously our product is very different compared to IFX, and we serve a completely different segment, really. This is where the cooperation within TransferGo and IFX start really.
I was going to say, it's like that's probably where and why it makes sense for you guys to collaborate. You know, again, you know, I'm delighted to have you both on because I was speaking to Will probably 2 weeks ago and he was talking a little bit about this. I was like, it's just a brilliant story because not to give too much context, but basically IFX and TransferGo have collaborated to help the Lithuanian government improve their ability to accept aid and get that aid and support to those who need it. Francisco, maybe if I go back to you, because I know maybe TransferGo were the budding shoots of this. If you could tell us sort of what the problem was that the Lithuanian government were having and sort of how you came about spotting the opportunity to solve it.
But let's start to say that TransferGo has the headquarters in London, but is essentially a Lithuanian fintech. Actually, one of the biggest fintech in Lithuania. So we constantly talk with the regulator there. We have a license there. We constantly talk with government there. So when all the COVID pandemic did start, we have been in contact with government with different projects. How can we help? Then the Minister of Finance did contact us saying, look, we need to collect donation. Obviously, they have the ability to collect donation within their currency and within Europe. But the challenge was, how do we collect donation from all around the world? In a very easy way, but most important, quick and safe way. So at one point I had I said, okay, what's the plan here? We need to give to the Bank of, to the Minister of Finance a dedicated multi-currency IBAN. So, and then I just said, as I was already coming from IFX, I knew their technology, I know their fintech product. And at one point I just said, okay, to move quickly, I just need a good partner that I can rely on, I can trust on this project, and then we can move quickly. So I did call Will and Nick. I said, look, there is this opportunity to help the government to collect the money from all around the world to help to deal with COVID-19. So I have to say that from Will and Nick, there was no brain. So straight away, they said, yes, anything we can do to help, we will do it. And that was a good fit for the simple reason that from one side, we had TransferGo that worked with the immigrant. So the core business, we had already the core business ready. From the other side, IFX had the technology to offer us a single IBAN with the multi-currency functionality. So we could offer to the Minister of Finance a dedicated IBAN that used to collect this money in any currency possible or around the world, and then push this donation directly to the Minister of Finance.
Right. So. It sounds fascinating that, you know, it sounds like, well, TransferGo almost have the network and supported by IFX, you have technology. You know, speaking, I know what virtual IBANs are, or assume that I know what virtual IBANs are, but maybe, Will, could you expand a little bit more on like the technology behind this and why, again, sort of this sort of helped solve that issue?
Yeah, of course. So like I said earlier, our agency banking agreement with our banking partner Barclays basically allows us to issue our own IBANs to our customers. Now that's a GB IBAN, and then we've built our own technology which allows us to collect 39 different currencies into that single IBAN. Now those are effectively currency sub-accounts, which are then backed up against client segregated accounts, which are in those respective currencies. So there's never any sort of FX exposure kind of on the back end. So that's really how it works. I think, you know, Francesco, like I said, you took the words out of my mouth a bit earlier. This is new, the best kept secret in the industry, which I believe is our technology. And his knowledge of certainly how we onboard and how we integrate with our clients, he knew there instantly that we were able to work with TransferGo and move on this very, very quickly. You know, they're a regulated financial institution. We understood the purpose of the partnership very, very quickly. It's something that is obviously very important to everyone at the moment. And really where we were able to work with them and really maximize value here was taking zero spreads on the FX once the money was collected, and being able to offer all payments at cost. I mean, we all know that, you know, if you have the wrong currency hitting an account, then sometimes the charges can be extortionate, and we wanted to avoid that and be able to maximize what can really reach the front line. So we jumped at the chance to work obviously on such an important project, and obviously work with Francesco again. You know, he was instrumental in kind of revolutionizing our compliance processes last year. You know, we're pretty much fully automated on that regard. So, you know, he knew as well that we were able to process those incoming payments very, very quickly and be able to forward them off. So it was really a match made in heaven for us.
Brilliant. It's one thing that, like, we've noticed at FSCOM and love to see, to be honest, and Will, you put it quite eloquently there, is like how the fintech community are rallying around to assist with COVID-19 where possible, and actually you could put this wider than that. And, you know, money is no longer really the first people's thought in people's minds. It is how can we help? You know, you have some projects like the COVID credit by, you know, the guys at Frontal and 11FS and Lightning Aid project, which is Railsbank's baby, and we're helping a wee bit on too. And it's, you even see some industry bodies getting involved, like Charlotte Questwell, who's the CEO of Innovate Finance, was almost imploring the government to utilize the speed and accuracy of fintechs to enable sort of safe, fair financial transactions at this time of uncertainty. And for my money, you guys seem to have done that and probably been the first most successful one, and hopefully there's many more to come. Guys, moving on slightly, like from your point of view, with you both sort of sitting there with your hats on, we have a really good opportunity to find out, like, across a cross section of the UK community, with, you know, IFX supporting primarily like fintech businesses and SMEs, and TransferGo supporting like private individuals and quite a lot of immigrant workers work are clients of yours. How are your clients finding COVID-19? What's your general sense of how things are happening, and has there been any massive shift in their behaviours? Well, maybe if I could come to you first for sort of the corporate angle on this.
Yeah, absolutely. So IFX manages quite a diverse portfolio of clients across a wide range of industries. And obviously the virus has hit different industries in different ways. So everyone is feeling the pinch, maybe slightly differently to others. But, you know, we've got a number of clients in kind of hospitality and travel, which has obviously seen cash movement down significantly. You know, we do service some private clients that come through referrals, through, you know, property acquisitions. Obviously, those are either in a holding pattern or they've been cancelled as well. So we've seen kind of money movement drop quite significantly in that regard. Look at other industries though, something like manufacturing, there's still activity there, but those clients are really seeing an emphasis on managing risk, and one of those main risks is obviously currency exposure. So, you know, in March, you know, we had our own mini March madness, as it were. You know, the rates were extremely volatile. We saw, you know, various markets up and down on an hourly basis, and really that required a number of our clients to mitigate that risk and fix in contracts and secure liquidity for the future. So that was very important. That's really where we sort of added value in March. But you know, after that, it's things have steadied down a little bit, and it's been, you know, trying to offer, you know, our iBank product and, you know, FX rates that will, you know, help clients kind of manage their payment forecasts for the future.
And one of the things that's sort of a question, maybe the million-dollar question, is how long is this going to last? Are you seeing people like book trades for the next 12 months? Or like, what's your sense of how people are planning, you know, in longevity for?
Yeah, it's the four contracts that we've entered into range from 6, 12, some are 18 months as well. So people do feel as though this could change things in the future. I mean, the lockdown and the kind of severity of what we're experiencing at the moment, okay, that's probably not going to last too long, in my opinion. It probably seems like it's maybe a couple months away. But the way we behave and kind of how the economy behaves moving forward beyond that could be significantly different indefinitely. We just don't know at the moment. And I think it's going to take a lot of time to adapt after this kind of initial lockdown period to really understand how different industries are going to be affected and really what the implications are for our clients.
Francesco, if I could get your sort of thoughts on your client base, which is obviously, as you mentioned, more immigrant communities, and I would assume quite a lot of them are actually could be frontline workers. Are you seeing like a massive change in their behaviours, a massive change in money movements, or?
Yes, as Will said, we probably it's too early to see. To have a flavor of what is happening really. We have a community of immigrants of over 2 million clients at the moment. To be fair, we didn't see yet a change in the behavior. Probably will come in later on, because obviously this COVID and with the lockdown, the people are struggling and losing job. But this will not stop the movement of the money, because if I'm supporting my family back home, I may use my saving or anyway. We definitely did see some slowdown in specific region, but not a massive change in our client database for the moment. But hopefully this will not last for long, as we said, but probably the real effect of all this will hit us later on this year. So this is the reality. Obviously, from a point of view of to serve the customer in the best way, we did try to to offer a free transfer and to all the customer that need to support family back home. One of the projects that we did lead that was very close to me was to support Italian customer to transact for free and support the Italian family, because obviously it was the Italy at one point was the center of the pandemic in Europe. So we try to do our bit, but at the moment we don't really see a change in the behavior, to be honest.
Yeah, but to be expected, possibly later down the line.
Yeah, because when you lose job and you finish, then the saving, then you have a you have to deal with that. But hopefully, as far as I understood, in the next following 2-3 weeks, most all the European nations slowly will reduce the lockdown. So I'm expecting that not to go back to the normality, but definitely starting to go back what was a kind of normal life. So
let's hope so, right? It's weird to say this, but like, let's try and set aside COVID-19 for a second and talk about plans may have changed because of it, but Francesco, maybe if I could start with you, what's on the horizon for Transfer Go? Are you fundraising? Are you moving? Are you expanding? What's going on for the next?
Yeah, this was a very weird year for Transfer Go, because we were we we did plan to do all this stuff that you just mentioned. So fundraising, expansion, TransferGo did renew all the senior management team with a full suite of chief officer, including myself. So we have a new chief commercial officers, chief growth officers, chief people officer. We are going through the fundraising very soon. This COVID-19 didn't stop our plan, probably did slow down a little bit, but we are expanding as well. There are different regions in our roadmap, and we are already. I don't want to say anything in advance because we are going public. But what I can tell you for sure is that really related to COVID, but actually related to Brexit. We have our license in Lithuania, obviously, because we are a Lithuanian company. So we are moving our customer under the EMI license. And in the near future, in the pipeline, there is e-wallet functionality and card. We already have the framework, so we are just building the product. And hopefully, who knows, IFX will be one of the partner in this project.
Well, it seems to be working pretty well so far. Well, same question. Sort of, what's on IFX's horizon for the next 12 months?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's plans have changed a little bit, but not significantly. The first half of the year was always geared towards kind of product expansion and product development. So the iBank product obviously rolled out at the back end of last year, but really it's been about updating the API to version 2, and then really stepping into that open banking world, integrating with an AISP and PISP capability. So that was really kind of where the product roadmap's going to be taking us, and not much has really changed in that regard. As far as geographical kind of expansion or fundraising goes, I mean, we are looking to get a stronger foothold out in Europe. So we have obviously our tech team based out in Warsaw, who are wonderful, and we've now started to build out our sales functionality there as well. And we're looking at other regions. Certainly, as the transition period comes to an end for 2020, we need to be we are well placed to be able to service our European clients after that, if there is no extension. As far as fundraising goes, like Francesco, I don't want to say too much. But I think there's definitely an appetite for IFX to secure some working capital. I think we are very much of the view that the more capital that we can get into the business, we can put more bums on seats, and we can really accelerate the growth of this wonderful company. So, we've got a couple irons in the fire. A few discussions are ongoing, but I don't want to say too much. But watch this space, maybe.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a bit of a watch this space for both of you. Listen, guys, first off, thank you very much for joining me today. I think, everyone who watches will agree it's a fascinating story. And it's great to see the collaboration and also, financial considerations are put aside. Mm-hmm. Next week, we're having Railsbank on to talk about another COVID project, which is a bit closer to home, based in the UK. Finally, good luck to Innovate Finance, who were supposed to have FinTech Week, I think it was last week, and are now doing it over the course of a month. And it's all been done virtually, so good luck to them. And finally, for me, remember, stay home, protect the NHS, and save lives. Thank you very much.